Memorial Day and talking about remembering, we're going to stick with that theme. And this one here for tonight, we want to remember the price. I'm going to talk to you today about remembering the price. Remembering the price here. John chapter 15. And look here in verse number 9. John chapter 15, verse number 9. All right. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In verse 13 here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And talk about remembering the price. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the day that you've given here today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for the price that you paid for our souls. Lord, I pray, Lord, now that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you give me your words and wisdom here to guide and direct through your word here tonight. And I pray you speak to our hearts, Lord. And I still pray, Lord, if there's one here or over the internet, Lord, that has never been born again, I pray that today is the day they seek you, they come to you, they get born again, they trust you as their Savior here today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Memorial Day isn't just the unofficial start to summer. It's not just a weekend for cookouts. It's not a long weekend off from work all about family get-togethers. Memorial Day is a time to remember. It's a time to honor the brave men and women who've laid down their lives and sacrificed for the freedoms that we have here in our country. You need to understand, freedom is never free. It's always been bought with a price, and that price has always been blood. Now, as Christians and as Americans, we pause to remember the high cost of our freedom. Many brave soldiers did not come home. They died there on the battlefields, in the air, on the sea, in foreign lands, and all over the world. And they gave everything they had so that we might enjoy the freedom that so often gets taken for granted in this country and in this world that we live in. I remember many years ago, you know, being in the Air Force for 20 years, I remember this man, this elderly man, at a Memorial Day ceremony. He stood there in remembrance, and he stood there in his uniform, and his uniform was, you know, faded, and his eyes were faded, and the bugle began to play taps. And as the flag was lowered, the tears began to roll down his face. And I remember talking about with him afterwards about some stories and things that he had gone through. And he remembered the price. He said, I remember a whole platoon of people, all of them my friends, and they laid down their lives so I could come home. And then he said this. He said something that I'll never forget. He said, I live every day to be worthy of the price that they paid. And, you know, when you think about that, you know, what does that mean, right? What does that mean? And I can only grasp at what it means, but, you know, it means that, hey, he lives every day to the fullest. Every day that he has is a blessing because some men's lives were cut short so that his life could be extended. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, that's what Memorial Day is. Memorial Day is remembering the price that others have paid for our freedoms. Not long, long before any battlefield was stained on American soil or in foreign lands with the blood of many American heroes, there was a hill outside of Calvary called Mount Calvary, right? That was where the greatest soldier in war fought the greatest battle for your soul. And he did something that nobody could do. No one else could do that. He willingly laid down his life. Not just for his friends, but for sinners. Amen. For sinners, because that was me.
That was me.
That was you. That is all of us. He laid down His life for you and for me. And Paul says this in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am chief. Christ died for us. He proved it. He had nails in His hands and feet, and those nails hung Him. He hung on the cross in those nails, and the love of God was poured out that day for you and I. And now today and tomorrow we remember those who gave their lives so that we could be free. But more than that, we want to remember the price. We want to lift up the One that gave us eternal life. Lift up the One, worship the One, honor the One that gave us life eternal. So the question for us this Memorial Day isn't just who died for us, but how will we now live for Him? We got to remember the price. So first of all, I want you to see here that we need to remember the cost. We need to remember the cost. Here in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love. There's that word again, love. You need to understand love is more than words. The world says love is a feeling, but love is not a feeling. The world says love is an emotion. Right? The world uses this as a phrase. We love this day and we love that the next day. But Jesus defines love not by what is said, by what is sacrificed. By what is sacrificed. John 3:16 is a perfect example of that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God wrapped up in that. We live now, we live in the land of liberty. We live in the greatest nation of all times. We can worship whatever we want, whenever we want. We have the freedom to do that. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom to assemble. We have freedom to vote. I mean, we have the freedom of the pursuit of happiness in our country. But we need to remember that that freedom was bought with a price. There was a cost that came with it. That price has been blood. It's always been blood. American soldiers have fought and died in every generation. You understand that every generation had trouble. Every generation had grief. Every generation has had it tough. All right? Every generation. In the Revolutionary War, hey, we fought in that war to win our independence. The Civil War, to preserve our country. In World Wars I and II, in Iraq and in Korea and Vietnam and Afghanistan, and so many more wars out there that men and women freely gave their life. They didn't run away from the danger. They ran into the danger. They sacrificed everything. They gave their all so that we could have those freedoms. Freedom is something that it just doesn't come. Freedom for our country isn't just going to come by us sitting and doing nothing. It's not going to come by wishful thinking. Not going to come by hoping, oh, I just hope that we can continue to have freedom. Freedom is secured by sacrifice. There's got to be sacrifice. There's always a cost, and we need to remember that cost. Romans 13:7, the Bible says, render therefore to all their duties, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. You see, we need to remember the cost. We need to remember the cost of our freedom and those that have gone before us to secure that freedom. Reminds me of David's mighty men. If you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to read here a few verses to you here about commitment here. Remembering the cost here. David's mighty men in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Look at verses 15 through 17. David was wanting some water here from Bethlehem. But Bethlehem is under Philistine control. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 15, it says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the hosts of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. That was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. You see, David longed for that water. He wanted to drink that water, but he realized that these three men, these three mighty men, they broke through the enemy lines. They risked everything. They risked their lives just to get him this drink of water. And they were willing to die for their commander, David. They were willing to do it. And David said, Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? So David wouldn't drink it. Instead, he poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord. He valued the water that much that it was a symbol of their blood. Hey, remembering the cost. Remembering the cost. Their commitment is an example for us. It teaches us some things. Hey, we need to be committed. Jesus Christ has done so much more for us. He saved us from sin. He saved us from bondage of sin. He saved us from the pits of hell. He gave us the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and to teach us and to train us and protect us. He gave us the power to overcome and conquer all the temptations and trials of this life. He gave us all. He delivered it. He delivered us from that. He protects us from that. He has done so much for us. He gives us the assurance, the perfect assurance, that the saved will live forever with Him in heaven. And David recognized the cost of sacrifice as we must recognize the cost that our soldiers have paid for our freedoms that we have as well. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to teach our kids to stand for the flag. We need to teach them to stand for the flag of the United States of America and respect the flag. We need to teach them to stand with reverence to the national anthem. Hey, we need to not let our kids worship these sports idols that can't even stand for the flag or the national anthem. That's ridiculous. You know, let them go to a different country, another country, and see what it's like there. See how much freedoms that they have here. But they want to complain about standing for the country that has given them the freedom to be able to make millions of dollars and impact and influence your kids and my kids. Don't do it. Teach them to stand for the flag of the United States. Teach them to stand. You know, that has some meaning. Don't let them freedoms that we have be thrown to the side. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them to honor those that serve. Teach them to honor and remember those that died and gone before them so that we could have this freedom. Remember the cost. Somebody has gone before us in each generation to secure our freedom. You see, freedom is a fragile thing. It's never more than one generation away from being extinct. Right? We have freedoms today. Tomorrow they can be stripped from us. We've seen a lot of that in the last 4 years, didn't we? And now we see the fight to get some of those things back and the struggle it is to get those back. When you lose freedoms, most of the time you don't get them back. We need to remember the cost. We need to teach our kids the heritage of those things. But let me ask you, talking about love, does our love cost us anything? God's love cost Him His only begotten Son. What does your love cost you? Husbands? Does your wife see your love and your patience and your sacrifice? Parents, do your children see your love through your presence? Are we there for our children? Does the lost world around us see the love through our witness? Hey, there's lost souls all around us dying and going in hell every single minute, every single second of every single day. We need to remember the cost. We need to remember the cost. But secondly, I want you to see here that we need to remember the cross. We need to remember the cross. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, the Bible says, And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Hey, we need to remember the cost of our freedoms, but we also need to remember the love of God poured out on that cross. There's no greater expression of love than to lay down your life, to give your life freely. Jesus says, Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for His friends. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You need to understand, we need to remember the cross. We need to remember the love of our God who sent His only Son to that cross. He died in my place. He died in your place. Your sin and my sin is why He went to that cross of Calvary, and He bore all of our sin on Himself that day, and He took the judgment. You understand that? He took our judgment. You understand that? You understand that? He took our judgment. He died in my place. We were slaves to sin. We were held captive to the devil. We was bound for hell, but Jesus laid it all on the cross of Calvary to set you free. And He rose again the third day. And hallelujah, amen. There is victory in that. There is promise in that. There is assurance in that. There is love in the fact that the very God who created everything and He created us in His own image loves us enough to pour out His own self on the cross of Calvary. We need to remember the cross. What do we need to remember about the cross? Let me give you a few things. We need to remember the pain of the cross. We need to remember that there was some pain on that cross. The cross isn't just a symbol that hung around Jesus' neck. It was a rugged, blood-soaked instrument of death that was used to put people to death. Crucifixion was designed to basically humiliate a person in their last breaths, in their last minutes and hours. It was used for torture. You understand that? Jesus was tortured before He even went to the cross of Calvary. But once they hung on the cross of Calvary, that torture that was put on Him before was up there as He's hanging on that cross, was designed to torture them until the very end of death. You know, people didn't just die pretty quick on that cross. It took some time, and the intent from the Romans there was to inflict very much torture. There was pain on the cross. There was not only a physical pain that Jesus went through, and from all of the beatings and everything that he went through, but He also, remember, had that crown of thorns smashed down on His head. You know, it wasn't just a little baby rose thorn. You know, I got one in my finger the other day, and it's like, ow. No, these were like 1 to 2 inches long thorns pressed down on His head. You ever get cut right in this area here on your forehead? There's some thin skin there, and it hurts. And what happens? That blood runs right in your eyes, the sweat and that blood, and it hurts. Right? They scourged Him until His back was torn to shreds, and they drove nails in His hands and feet, and He struggled there on that cross just to breathe. There was pain on the cross. We need to remember the cross. Every breath He had to push Himself up to breathe. Push Himself up to breathe. And there was pain just in doing that, because remember, there were nails in His feet. And He's using His feet to push Him up to get just a grasp of air in His lung. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Oh, the pain of the cross. Not only physical pain, but there was spiritual pain. You remember when Jesus was on that cross, He said in Matthew 27:46, He said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me here all alone? Why hast thou forsaken me?" This is not just the cry of agony being in pain, but it is the cry of the Son of God who's bearing the full wrath from the Father of our sin upon Himself, by Himself. There's a little story about a little boy. He was asked in Sunday school if he knew how much Jesus loved him. And he says, "Yes, Jesus loves me this much." He shook it and put his hands out there. And he says, "And then He died for me." You see, that's the cross. That's what we need to remember about the cross. But we also need to remember the purpose of the cross. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The cross was not a mistake. It was not plan B, plan C, or plan D. It was God's plan from the very beginning. It was His divine appointment. And in the perfect time, in the perfect place, God sent forth His Son. It was not an accident. It was atonement for you and I. We need to understand that. In Revelation 13:8, it says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was always God's plan to send the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary to die for you. The cross was substitutionary, meaning He died in your place. He died in my place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That sums it up, doesn't it? My righteousness is as filthy rags. I have none. I have none. I cannot stand before a holy, righteous God in my own self-righteousness. Neither can any of you. We need His righteousness. His righteousness. He took my place. He bore my sin. And when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and receive Him as my Savior, He puts that punishment of Him on that cross and He accounts it to my account and saying, free of charge, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. His righteousness is applied to me. Hey, the cross, let me tell you, was sufficient. It was sufficient. He only had to die one time. You understand that? He only died one time. The Catholics still have Him on the cross. They still have the on the cross. Hey, if Jesus was still on the cross, we'd have some trouble. We'd have some problems. Jesus isn't on the cross. If He's still on the cross, He can never resurrect 3 days later. But you see, they took Him off of the cross. They put Him in a tomb. They buried Him. And 3 days later, He came out of that tomb very much alive. The cross is sufficient. Jesus did not make a down payment. Do you understand that? He paid it in full. Now, I don't know if you remember, but I remember when I was a kid, we'd go to whatever store it was, and we put something on layaway. You remember layaway? Yeah, I don't think they do that anymore. But I remember we'd go in there, God, make a payment on layaway. Right? No, God didn't put our sins on layaway. He paid the full penalty for them. He paid it all. He paid it in full. And that's why He said on the cross, it is finished. He cried out there, screamed out, hey, it's finished. No more layaway. Right? Nothing. It's finished. Nothing else you can do. I've come. I've kept the faith. I've done it all. I've paid the price. Hey, I've come to the cross. I've kept the Father's will. All you got to do is believe on Him. It is finished. Hebrews 1:3 says, when he had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see, the cross was sufficient. It's a one-time deal. It's a one-time good deal. And we also want to remember the power of the cross. Think about that for a minute. The power of the cross. You see, there's power in the cross. The cross has power to redeem us. In Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You understand, Jesus could have died in many other different ways, but He had to shed His blood. His blood had to be poured out for the remission of sins, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Maybe somebody here today, they say, oh, my past is too sinful. He can never forgive me. I've done too many wicked things. He could never forgive me. We had a family friend who was over in the Vietnam War, and for many, many years I tried to witness to him, and we'd go through the Bible, and he would come to church with us, and we'd sit down and go through the Bible and just, you know, try to see his need of a Savior. And so many times he would say to me, in Vietnam we had to do so many bad things. You know, and I just don't know how God could forgive me for those things. And he struggled with that for many years, I guess you could say. But eventually, you know, through the witness, he was able to on my front or on my kitchen table, call on the Lord and ask Him to save him. And recently he's gone on to glory. But he just could never grasp that there. Hey, listen, no past is too sinful. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. You say, how does the blood do it? How can the blood forgive us? I don't know. But God says it, right? God says it does, and so it does.
We just by faith take Him at His word.
The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hey, Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself.
You see, when I was lost, when you were lost, we were enemies of God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins.
But you know what happened? When you came to the cross of Calvary, you came to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you got peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The cross reconciles us, and it gives us the power to transform. Turn over to Galatians. I want to show you this verse here. It's a very powerful verse. Galatians chapter 2, and look here, just one verse here, verse number 20. See, we remember the cross. We remember many things about the cross, the purpose of the cross, the power of the cross. But the cross also has the power to transform us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Look at that here with me. Paul says here, I am crucified with Christ. You get that? I am crucified with Christ. My flesh, my desires, the old man, I'm crucified with Christ on that cross. I am dead to myself. He says, and he goes on, he says, nevertheless, I live. Hey, I'm still alive. I'm still living. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, everything I do now, it's not for me. It's for Christ. It's for Jesus. You know, the old man that I used to be and the things that I wanted to do before. Here's how it basically boils down is I wasted 40 years of my life on things that will burn up and mean absolutely nothing. And so however much time I have left, hey, I just want to live for Him because He saved me. He bought me. He redeemed me. He justified me. What else can I do? I've been down that road. That road ends in death. That road ends in tragedy. That road ends in eternal damnation. I don't want that. Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And get this, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the cross has power. It has power to transform a life. It not only does the cross forgive us, but it changes us. It transforms us. It crucifies the old man. It crucifies our pride, our lust, our self-will. And Paul said it like this. He says, I die daily. Let me tell you, that's a real thing. That's a real thing in 2025. I have to die daily every day. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this world that we live in, you are going to have to die daily to the flesh and to the desires of this world and this the devil. All right? In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's another story about a man. He said, I used to carry a cross in my pocket. Kind of like a good luck charm. But he said that cross never really did anything for me. Kind of like those people that wear a necklace with a cross or they'll get tattoos on them. But this man says, I used to carry a cross in my pocket, but now I carry it in my heart. I carry it in my heart. You see, it became real to him. It changes everything when it becomes real to you. The cross is more than just a symbol. When it becomes real, when it becomes your story, it transforms you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not a might be, a hope so. Thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me tell you, we need to remember the cross. We need to remember the cross. And I've got one more for you. I want you to see lastly here that we need to remember the commitment. We need to remember your commitment. We need to remember our commitment. There in John 15:14, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You ever think about commitment? Think about the sacred how sacred a commitment is, whether it's a marriage vow, whether it's an oath into office, or whether it's a soldier's pledge to his country. Commitment speaks of being loyal. It speaks of devotion. It speaks of not quitting. Follow through. It speaks of I die daily. It speaks of continuing on. It speaks of not giving up. But how much more sacred should our commitment be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us? Today, too many Christians, they start out good, but then they fizzle. They finish poorly. Too many get excited for a season, but then their fire burns out. Jesus Christ laid down His life for you, for me. And now He calls us to live for Him. I die daily. You see, Jesus doesn't want just He doesn't want just fans. He wants followers. So let me ask you, are you a fan or are you a follower? He doesn't want just Sunday Christians. He wants soldiers of the cross. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? I'm saying He gave it all. He gave everything. He gave us everything. Should we not want to give something back to Him? Should we not want to give Him our all? Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 breaks it down really easy. It just says, we're to be living our lives like a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We need to remember the cost. We need to remember the cross. We need to remember our commitment. And here in Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, familiar verses, you know them. We recite them, quote them, read them a lot. They says here, I beseech you. I beseech you. This is urgent. Take heed. Listen up. This is important. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know God's mercies are new every morning? You understand that His mercies are new every morning. Praise God. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, the Jews knew about sacrifice. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, they knew how to give sacrifice. You got to give sacrifice to this. It's got to be without blemish, right? Got to give sacrifice. They knew how to give a sacrifice. And so Paul here is saying, hey, you need to give your body that same type of sacrifice. You need to present your body a living sacrifice. Right? Those old sacrifices, you know, they had to die. We needed the blood. But now we're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Daily going on living for the Lord. And how do we do that? He says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You understand it's just reasonable service? But preacher, being a Christian in 2025 is so difficult. You know, I want to do this, and I want to go here, and I want to go there, and I want to do all these great things. It's just so difficult. But hey, the Bible says we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? It's just reasonable service. So you mean it's just reasonable service to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? It's just reasonable service? It's just reasonable service. You mean it's just reasonable service to go soul winning on Saturday? It's just reasonable service. You mean it's just reasonable service to come to our fellowships on Mondays? It's just reasonable service. Right? It's just reasonable service. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Anytime we assemble, hey, we need to be there. The brethren need to be there. We can go on. This is a good verse, too. Number two, and be not conformed to this world. We could just spend a lot of time right there, couldn't we? In order for us to present our bodies, to live holy, to be acceptable to God, we got to learn not to be conformed to the world. The world's going to distract us, but He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you can do this is if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're filled with the lust of this world and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, you're not going to be able to do this. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Too many Christians today, they want to have the comforts of life without commitment.
Hey, we want the big houses and the fancy cars and the new boats and the great best paying jobs and all of those things. But we don't want any sacrifices. We don't want any hard times. We want all the good stuff.
Right? We want all the easy stuff. Listen, I will come to church, but just don't expect me to change anything. Don't expect me to, you know, get all holier than thou and start reading my Bible. And don't expect me to come three times a week or whatever. All those times you assemble, you know, that's just too much. That's just too much. But hey, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's in all things, according to God's word.
God isn't looking for perfect people. He's just looking for those that are committed.
I'm nowhere near a perfect person. I'm nowhere near qualified to stand up here. I'm just committed to doing what He said. I'm just seeking His will for my life. The same with all of us here. You should seek God's will for your life. Seek His will.
God is just looking for committed people. Men and women who will stand for truth, who will pray for their nation, who will live holy lives, who will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if there was a soldier who showed up for work one time a week. Now, there were people who tried to do that when I was in the Air Force. And you know what we did? We kicked them out. They weren't qualified to be in service. If they weren't going to show up, hey, you can't be part of our team, right? They're not going to be ready for the battle. Neither is a Christian who only comes to church one time a week. We need to be committed. It's an everyday thing. It's a I die daily. It's a I am crucified with Christ. If you would, turn over to Acts. Let's go 2 Corinthians. You know, so when we're talking about Paul went through a lot of things and Paul was still committed. And so I want to show you here a few things of what Paul went through and he didn't quit. Paul went through some things, let me tell you. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was put in prison, and he never faltered. He never lost track of his mission. He kept the faith until the end, and I got to turn there too. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, look there at verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one."
All right, who's still going? Who's quitting now? You understand, this means that he was beaten five different times with 39 whippings, 39 lashes. Why? Because 40 was considered, the man was dead at 40. But five times! Are we still going to press forward, anybody? We all probably going to want to quit after the first time. Paul didn't quit. Five times. He goes on. There's a whole lot more. He says thrice. Three times. He was beaten with rods. Okay, I don't know. This is getting too much now. I don't know if we can handle this. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So those aren't even including the things that went on and happened to him, but just being a part of the church. How many of us would have quit a long time ago? We would have quit a long time ago. Right? The beatings and everything. But Paul didn't quit. If he didn't quit, what's stopping us? Why would we want to quit? 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." Hey, we need to remember that price. The price was the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So I'm going to close with this story here about a firefighter Imagine there's a building. Imagine there's a burning building. Okay, there's a burning building, and there's people that are trapped inside of the third floor. Smoke is pouring out the windows, and then the flames are pouring out, and the flames are hot, and people are crying out for help. Help, 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 right? So the firemen come on scene, and they set up their equipment, and they set the ladders up, and they've been trained, right? We hope. They have the equipment. They're ready to go, and so a fireman, he starts up the ladder. Everybody's watching and hoping, but halfway up that ladder, the old fireman just kind of stops there. He notices it's starting to get hot there, and he sees the flames, and he gets a little nervous. He gets scared. And then he starts doing the unimaginable. He starts climbing back down the ladder. He says, "It's too hot. It's too dangerous. I'm not going any further." So let me ask you, is that a fireman? Is that a firefighter? He wears the uniform. He took the oath. He started up the ladder. But when the heat came, he quit. He quit. That, my friend, is the picture of many Christians today. They put their hand to the plow. We get excited. We follow Jesus. But as soon as something we don't like, or as soon as a trial comes, or as soon as the temperature gets a little hot, the pressure is applied, and they stop. Oh, they say, "Oh, it's too hard. Oh, this Christian life, it's just not for me. It's just too hard." And they turn back. But now a real firefighter, the committed one, he's going to keep climbing. He's going to keep going. He's going to go into that fiery building. It doesn't matter what happens. He's going to go in there because the mission is worth it. His mission is to risk his life to save others. So he goes all the way. And so, Christian, that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't stop halfway on Jesus. Jesus didn't stop halfway to Calvary. He didn't say, "Well, you know, this cross is too heavy. You know, I have been beaten quite a bit. Now this cross, it's just too heavy." He didn't turn back when the pain started. He finished the mission. Remember, on the cross, it is finished. He finished the mission. Why? Because you and I were on His mind. You and I were on His mind. We were that important that He wasn't going to turn back. We were worth saving. And so the point of that all is we need to not be halfway Christians. We need to finish the course. We need to climb up all the ladder, no matter how hot the heat gets, no matter how hot the devil tries to turn the heat up on us. There are souls all around us. There are souls everywhere that are in danger of dropping and dying and going to hell. And Jesus is still worth it. Is Jesus worth it for you? You were worth it for Him. And so as we pause for Memorial Day and we remember our country, and it is a great country. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to remember the cross. We need to remember the cost. We need to remember the cross. And we need to remember that commitment. That commitment when we were first saved and we had a desire to do everything and just live for the Lord. We need to remember that same commitment. And maybe we need to just come to the altar today and just regain that commitment. Let's go ahead and close this prayer here today. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Let's